coming up on 3 and Out.
It is over in Cleveland.
The Broncos went to the dog pound and found a bone in the form of an overtime victory.
15-10-5 to the house.
The offense had its moments, but Peyton Manning made some decisions he'd like to have back.
We're going to continue to work and try to, you know, improve on the red zone and third down.
The defense was as dependable as ever, but wants to get even better.
That was probably the toughest game I've been in my whole career.
And he's going to be sandwiched by two Broncos.
What's the question?
No more questions. 3 and Out starts now. Thanks for joining us for this week's 3 and Out. I'm Phil Milani. Plenty to cover on the bye week, so let's get things started. Time for first down, and joined by Andrew Mason now, and plenty to talk about with the Broncos offense, good and the bad. Mace, let's start with the good. They had two 100-yard receivers and a 100-yard running back. That's pretty good for an average offense, right?
Yeah, they had obviously some overtime to get over those thresholds, but certainly having those milestones was pretty crucial. And really, I think the most promising aspect of the performance against Cleveland was on the ground. You had Ronnie Hillman going over 100 yards for the second time this season. But I think the most crucial thing was that as time went on, they ground down the Browns' defense. Look at overtime on their game-winning drive. Once they got to around midfield, six consecutive runs for 27 yards moved the Broncos into field goal range. That's what you want to see late. Now, granted, take it with a grain of salt. This was the worst rushing defense in the league, but certainly given the struggles that the Broncos have had against good run defenses and bad run defenses, this is a promising step.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all know that the Broncos want to be a physical team, wear out the opponent, and they clearly did that on Sunday. Now let's talk about the other thing. Peyton Manning, the three interceptions, and there's still some struggles in the red zone.
Yeah, the red zone struggles aren't going away. We touched on it last week. We wrote about it last week, and now we're talking about it again this week. No touchdowns in the red zone, a big concern. The only offensive touchdown was a 75-yard strike to Emmanuel Sanders. So they've got to find a way to get that going. You know, I think they took some positive steps in the running game, although it didn't manifest itself in the red zone, but I think they're getting going in the right direction. But the turnovers, I mean, that you've got to curb that. It's seven interceptions in the last three games, and you look at Manning, he's had 25 interceptions over the last couple of seasons, and one of the worst interception rates in the league among quarterbacks with at least 100 passes the last couple of years. The Broncos have to find a way to cut those mistakes, because right now, remarkably, they're number one in the league in giveaway, takeaway margin. That's all about the defense. The defense is leading the league with 17 forced turnovers.
Yeah, one misconception, though, is that people think Peyton Manning not meshing with Gary Kubiak. Not the case. Those two are very much working together, and the coach talked about that on Monday.
I'm going to do what I think we're doing is best for the quarterback. I would never do anything that I don't think is best for the quarterback. So that's my plan every day I go to work. So we improved. We did a lot of good things yesterday. We moved the ball. And, you know, we need to continue to make that improvement. We had 200-yard receivers. We had a 100-yard rusher. Those are good things. Those are positive things. And we need to protect the ball better. And between he and I, we've got to do a better job of that.
Time for second down now, and Mace, let's talk about that Denver stingy defense. And like you mentioned before, all the takeaways, 9 interceptions, 13 forced fumbles, and of course, they still got after the quarterback, 26 sacks through 6 games.
Yeah, remarkable the way this defense has become the best playmaking defense in the NFL. You know, they had the personnel. I think Wade Phillips has done a very good job of turning it loose, but not indiscriminately. What I like about it is that this defense, it can get pressure with 4-man rushes. They don't have to blitz. Now, the blitz is a nice element. It's contributed to some big plays. But one reason it works is because the Broncos know they can get sufficient pressure and disrupt the opposing quarterback with a 4-man rush and drop guys into coverage. So there's a lot of different things that Wade Phillips can throw at an opposing team. But then finally, of course, in overtime, when the Browns take over at the 39 after Barkevious Mingo's interception, Gary Kubiak tells Wade Phillips, be aggressive. And of course, you know what happened after that. 3 consecutive plays for losses of yardage that took the Browns out of any plausible field goal range and set the offense up for the game-winning drive.
Yeah, probably the best defensive stand of the entire game. But it's just 6 games, and the Broncos defense knows that there's still a lot of room to get better on.
Oh, yeah, that's football, man. Anybody who think they accomplished something through week six, terribly wrong. So we know we got a long way to go.
Oh, man, there's still a lot of things we can do. We keep giving people extra downs on third downs. We get off the field, and then we get a penalty. So we got to stop with the dumb penalties. Everything else has been pretty tight.
Time for third down now, and the bye week couldn't have come at a better time as the Broncos a little bit nicked up after that game in Cleveland. We saw a lot of guys go down, but most notably, Shane Ray and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, Shane Ray, you feared the worst when Derek Wolfe and Mitchell Schwartz kind of collided and they were grappling and they landed on him. And you thought torn ACL, and having been around this team a while, I flash back to Matt Lepsis tearing his ACL on the same field and Ryan Terrain tearing his ACL in that stadium. But it was an MCL injury for Shane Ray, very fortunate. Broncos will have to make do without him for a little bit, but they have depth at pass rusher. They expect DeMarcus Ware back after he missed last week's game because of back spasms. You know Shaquille Barrett can play. Laurenti McCray will get some snaps. Even Kenny Anunoke, defensive end, who made his regular season debut Sunday, he's going to get some looks. So the Broncos feel like they can get pass rush punch even without Shane Ray. That'll hurt. And Emmanuel Sanders, Gary Kubiak is expecting he'll be back on the practice field next week in advance of the Packers game. That was obviously great news.
Yeah, definitely. And head coach Gary Kubiak explained the fortunate circumstances of Shane Ray's injury on Monday.
You know, we're hoping that this is a short-term deal. It looks like it's got an excellent chance to be. So I would just say that we think he's lucky, and it will be, you know, day-to-day right now. He's going to miss a little bit of time, but hopefully it's not going to be too much.
It's time for fourth down, so let's punt things over to our social media department and Scott Ward.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the social media portion of 3 and Out. First question this week is from Thomas Richards. He wonders, will Tyson Brailo's return help out this young O-line? Thomas actually asked two questions, but Mace is a busy guy.
I like that disco music, by the way. You know, I think it will for the big reason, obviously, that you had him pegged as your starting left tackle. He was improving over the course of his games, I thought, from what I was watching, and it'll help to have him back. That being said, Gary Kubiak's willingness to use other offensive linemen in there on a possession or two possessions. We've seen Tyler Palumbus come in for Ryan Harris. We've seen Max Garcia go in for Evan Mathis. I think that's going to help. I think even if the offensive line goes back to the alignment that it had before Cimbrello's injury, which was Ryan Harris at right tackle, Cimbrello at left tackle, I still think you're going to see Michael Schofield out there getting a few snaps here and there from time to time. So it's going to help the offensive line, I think, if Kubiak continues to rotate his young backups in there. It'll keep everybody fresher.
Really good answer, Mace. Really good. Second question. This one's from Kevin Trong. He is at the Laser Bird. He wonders, will Ronnie Hillman have more carries over the rest of the season?
I think he's going to end up having more carries, of course, assuming that he stays healthy. That's the big thing. You know, a 20-carry game against Cleveland, that's exactly what you want to see from him. But given his build, he's about 25 pounds lighter than Juwan Thompson, who was injured and missed Sunday's game, and C.J. Anderson. Because of that, I think they're going to try to monitor his reps. You don't want to wear him down. You want to watch the wear and tear on him. But I think the way Ronnie Hillman is running the ball, the way he's hitting the holes, the way he's getting outside, and is a threat to have that explosive play, I think you're going to see more of him than C.J. Anderson and Juwan Thompson over the coming weeks.
How about a third one? This one's from Daniel at Daniel Gonzalez. He wonders, since we're missing an explosive tight end that we maybe have had in the past, is there a chance we trade for one?
I'm sorry, I just got in disco mode there. I'm going to have to apologize for that. There's a decent chance. I think they're looking at multiple positions, so I wouldn't say that they're specifically looking for a tight end. But clearly, you look at the moves they've made, going back to August, late in the preseason, when they were bringing in some young guys for looks, that they want something more out of that number three tight end than they've gotten. They brought Richard Gordon back. They signed him last week, let him go so Capri Bibbs could play against the Browns because they need a third running back. Brought him back Monday, and I think he's going to be in the mix as a blocker. But like Gary Kubiak said on Monday at his press conference, he likes two tight end, three tight end sets, and he hasn't really been able to do that. The loss of Jeff Heirmann to a torn ACL back at rookie camp in May, it's really left this group fighting from behind. It's not what he envisioned it when they drafted Heirmann. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they did trade for a tight end. But the chances, you know, I don't get into chances. I don't get into odds. Anything I say would be just a guess. But I think it's something they're looking at.
Nice. I like that groove. Well, dancing, social media, out of the way. I don't know why you'd watch the rest, but we'll send it back to Phil.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for this week's Three and Out. Thank you to Andrew Mason and Austin Brink behind the camera. No thanks to Ben Swanson, though, who went bye-bye for the bye week. We look forward to having him back next week. Until then, I'm Phil Milani, and that's been Three and Out.